This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
It's your parents, but what was in you? Like, how'd you get out of him? You went to college and, you know, you said Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. What do you think was in you? Like, how did you get at it? Because you could have ended up like some of these kids, right? I mean, you grew up in poor neighborhoods too, so...
Yep. And I would definitely say, sometimes I say like I got lucky, but I believe you do create your own luck. Yeah, but I would say I created my own luck by sports. It's the typical story. Like, sports kept me out. Like, I had some of my best friends wanted to like jump me into gangs, and I'm like, I don't want to be in the gangs. Like, all you have to do is hit a lick. I'm like, what's a lick? Like, all you gotta do is like rob somebody or jump somebody or like beat somebody up. I'm like, I don't want to, like, why would I just rob
that, like,
somebody?
Indoctrination or something?
that's how you get in gangs. It's called, right. you got to hit a lick. That's what they call it. But
and you play basketball, right? I see that behind you on the wall.
So that's actually my fiance. She was the baller.
I played football.
Yeah.
There you football. Go. Very nice. Sports fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, she attracted to me.
Did you guys meet at Western Kentucky?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Very nice.
Yeah, we met out there, and she's way more athletic than me. I'm 6'4", 250. I just got the
lead. Information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com, or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. This is the second interview I conducted at the PodMax Global event in August of 2020. It's with a gentleman named Devin Scott. This actually was his second podcast guest appearance, but I think you're going to hear great things from him in the future. So thanks. I appreciate this. Is all great. This whole PodMax Global thing. It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate them pairing us up. So The Accidental Entrepreneur is it's a long form interview style podcast. And I talk to entrepreneurs and inventors, and I think your company's Freedom Finders, right?
Correct.
So, but maybe you want to tell me, we got that hip little bird on your shoulder. If like, about your background, like where you from, where you grew up, how you got into what you're mm-hmm. doing, you know, the whole enchilada, so to speak.
Yeah, love to. First off, thanks for having me on the show. So that was my first podcast. I just did on the last one. So
nice. I'm number two.
Yeah, number two podcast.
You got all that nice equipment though. You're all ready.
I was actually supposed to make a podcast called The Great Procrastinator Show, and obviously I'm just procrastinating more and longer and longer.
To, just trying to make material. It right. That's funny.
But so I'm originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. Grew up in deep poverty. Oldest of seven. grew up thinking $30,000 was a lot of money. Yeah.
So my son's in Bloomington because he goes to IU.
Nice. Well, he's having, well, is he going at home now? Is he doing homeschooling? Or is he actually?
No, he's in his apartment going to every one of his classes online.
Yeah.
The whole university's closed. I'm paying for this for him to sit in an apartment. He's a junior. It's just nuts. Yeah. It's just
nuts.
My
little sister goes there. She's a freshman. So I'm just like, why don't you just stay at home? Like,
it's got to be hard as a freshman to sit in your dorm room and learn. It's hard enough going to class. You don't know what's going on. That's another story. That's another podcast.
Agree 100%.
Yeah.
But,
so you're one of seven, you said?
Yeah. I'm one of seven. I'm the oldest of seven. So I feel like I got, I have some big shoes to fill. So, just basically how I grew up and where I grew up from, and that, you know, again, thinking $30,000 was a lot of money, and it really put me in a state of gratitude to where I'm at now, because when I look back at where I came from, walking to the grocery store or Dollar General with $3.37 and like my heart pounding at the register, like, please be $3.37,
right.
Please be $3.37. And my mom was always so great with money. I'm like, how are you? Like, you're so great with this. Like, but it's because she had to. But anyway, going from there, growing up how I grew up, and really living a life of gratitude, and really being grateful where I'm at now. That's kind of how everything develops. And I really look at myself as a go giver right now. So when we talk Freedom Finders,
you know that book series, Bob Berg, The Go Giver.
Yep, I've read it. Yeah. Yep,
he was on my podcast last week.
Oh man, I'm gonna go listen to it.
I listen to a lot of stuff, 5 o'clock. Too. I do Audible. I do. So, it's a good interview. You should listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely check it out. I love, I can't remember who was on your, I listened to one of your podcasts just to kind of see what you're about.
Okay.
But that kind of correlates to being a go giver and understanding that the more you give, you'll receive in an abundance. Right. But when we talk Freedom Finders, this is nothing but a small group that I was trying to get together to hold each other accountable. So what we do every single day on Facebook, we go live and we say, we do three things. We call it our consistent daily action. One, we say what we're grateful for. Two, we say our positive affirmations. And three, we talk about what our actions are for that day in order to hold ourselves accountable.
Okay.
And since we've been doing this, we've been creating a following, and people are coming in and people are reaching out and saying like, hey, like, I love this so much. Like, you're changing my life. Like, I'm letting everybody I know about this because we need to do this and we need to set our intentions.
Is this on Facebook?
Yeah. We just go live on Facebook.
And how many people are involved?
So it's four of us that actually do it consistently. Some people, we go live every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., Saturdays, Sunday,
Monday
at 10 a.m.
through Friday?
Yep, every day, 7 days a week.
Okay.
So
like your own TV studio on Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we do that, and I'm seeing it in my own friends that I grew up with. And these are all friends I grew up with in second, third grade that we're doing this with. So it's very, very genuine. And it's a lot of just talking. And we're almost amazed that, like, why are all these people watching us just talk and ramble and talk about our goals?
Oh, and so you're getting a following. You see people watching you and stuff?
Yes, sir. So and it's good to hear back and say, like, wow, like, thank you for doing this. Like, you're motivating me every day. I tune in every day and I'm like, wow, like, that's so awesome. Because to be honest, we're kind of a little selfish at front. We're just like, we're doing this for us. Like, we're doing this to grow us.
Well,
you
did go live, so.
Yeah, you're right. to hold us accountable, though, we want to tell our followers.
Yeah, that's why you put it out there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Say, hey, I got to do this.
Then you got to do it.
Yep.
Like, you put it out there about the podcast. Now I know you're procrastinating. It's a procrastinating podcast. You got to do it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm building content up.
Right.
So,
is everybody like a business owner, or some people who have jobs? It's not all about business all the time. You're talking about all kinds of different stuff.
So primarily, we're just talking about, again, the three things: our consistent daily action, grateful, affirmations, and what our steps are today. So all of us actually have jobs. We're all employed. We all have W-2 somewhere.
Okay.
And everybody has their own situation to where they're trying to build. And then also,
it's like a side hustle or a side gig.
Exactly.
Okay.
And from the Freedom Finders and what we're doing, we're actually putting together a youth mentorship curriculum to get into all the schools, which have a couple of schools in Indianapolis that's ready to pilot it as we clean it up. But we really desire, and our biggest desire and our biggest goal that we all have is to give back to the youth and educate the youth to understand these simple life skills, that school doesn't teach you. I understand we all need algebra. It's a lot of those.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're focused on. But yes, we're all employees, but all have side gigs as
but
well.
But Freedom Finders is really like a, I don't want to say it's all about money, but I mean, that's what gives you freedom, right? Financial choice, financial freedom to be able to, I mean, maybe some people wealthy, some people aren't, but at least to not be at the store and worried about that it's more than $3.37, right? You want to focus on the bigger things, not the little things. That's basically the goal of the group.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say the goal of the group is to move people from a broke or fixed mindset to a growth mindset and like understand
more abundance.
Exactly. Having that abundance mindset, that growth mindset, that moving on from, oh, I can't afford this or I can't do this to how can I, right? Very simple stuff. I took the purple pill, the rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah. No, that's a, it's a, it is a mind shift. It's a paradigm shift. It's looking at things, I guess, more positively and how can I, you know, there's always a way, right? So how can I get there? Not if I can get there. It's always, I say that it's always how, not if. So what kind of things are you working on now, Devin, in terms of business things, side hustles, whatever?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's, I don't know, maybe it's, I feel like it's always a lot, but you always have more time. But primarily working on number one goal right now is to get this youth mentorship curriculum into these schools. So I heard a podcast with the Budgetnista. I'm not sure if you heard about who she is, but she's in New Jersey.
And
she actually passed the first law in the state of New Jersey that has to teach financial literacy to the youth, to
what's
the kids
her name?
In school.
I'm in New Jersey.
Her name is Tiffany. I'm going to butcher her last name. Alice is like A-L-I-C-H-E or something like that. I don't know how to say that.
But
she calls herself the Budgetnista. So she got a law passed, and I think it's like law A-1414, whatever it is. But she passed a law to where they have to teach these type of things and teach about money in school. And now it's in one state. It's only in one state out of all 50. So we also have a goal to get her law passed, which we're actually reaching out. We have multiple people reaching out to her because she's kind of big time now. Well, we want to get it passed everywhere and grow, but specifically, yes, Indiana first.
Yeah, because the schools are very state oriented. Exactly. There's really no national. So in Indiana, are they starting to go? Are they going to go back to school?
Unfortunately, they've already started back. Okay. So they got a choice of going virtual or actually going. So my little brother, he just went.
Every day or freshman. Is he on a split schedule?
So he's on I think he goes 3 days a week.
Yeah, that's what they're doing out in Jersey. They're doing 2 days and 3 days off. Virtual, 3 days virtual, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm like, if you're going to go 3 days, like, why not go five? I don't know.
You know, the stupid thing is so it's 2 days of school and then Wednesdays off and then Thursday and Friday for the older kids, right? Why they didn't take half the group go Monday, Tuesday, and then clean the school Wednesday and go back. That's not what they're doing. They're going Monday, Thursday is one group, and Tuesday, Friday is the other group. I'm like, what's the point? You know, the whole thing is a mess. And in New Jersey, obviously, we had a lot more cases than you guys out in. Are you still in Indiana?
So I'm actually in North Carolina right now.
Oh, okay.
So moving out to North Carolina. So.
Yeah, UNC, they already shut down.
Yeah.
Like 200 cases or something crazy like that.
Yeah, crazy situation.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my son to have to come home, which he doesn't want. Well, actually, he doesn't have to come home. We have an apartment, so we have a lease. We're stuck for a year, so I guess he could stay there. I don't know. His sisters are like, please don't bring him home. You know, they don't want to. So, tell me more about Freedom Finders. So what are your other, your three other friends? Like, what are they working on? What are they doing? What are their goals? You know, things can you share that? I mean, you're not sharing their names. So, well, I guess you can share it. They share live on Facebook. So
we can talk about whatever
we want.
Yeah, we can share it. We have one person that's looking to actually become a gun manufacturer.
Okay.
So he wants to actually have his first outdoor shooting range, and he wants to actually eventually become to where he's a gun manufacturer.
Okay.
So that's someone. We have another person that his grandfather is in the Golden Gloves Hall of Fame for coaching okay. Golden Gloves Hall of Fame. So he's going more of that route in the boxing situation, which he doesn't box, but he.
Are you back?
Oh, hello, I'm
was
back.
Was that me? Did I freeze or did you freeze?
No idea. You froze on mine.
And you froze on mine. That was weird. And then all of a sudden you came back.
Yeah. It like kicked me and it opened back up. Maybe it was me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
No idea.
Okay. We'll edit that.
Exactly. another friend working on the boxing situation of how to get people to heal faster and get their bruises and cuts closed faster during the fight. So can't really get into that, right? But Yeah, so we all have our a different situation working on. For me, I'm looking to buy a mobile home park, so a little different asset class than most.
Yeah,
a little different. Have a lot of reasons of why, but right.
But that's real estate. You got to buy the property, yeah. right? You're looking to buy an existing park or start a park?
Yes, sir. Looking to buy existing park. To start a park, it'll be it's a lot. It's a lot of expenses, a lot of money. A lot of people aren't bringing in their own mobile homes now. So you'd have to buy all the mobile homes and all that jazz.
Oh, you mean so this is a park where people like they don't leave?
Well, they can leave if they want to, but they own their own home. So they'd have to pay to move their own home, right? So one of the reasons why I really like this asset class is because they own their own mobile home and they pay me lot rent.
Yeah, they're leasing the land from you for whatever it is. Is it month to month or?
Yep, month to month. And typically you put together a lease or whatever that may look like.
Okay.
But in real estate, as always, it depends, right? It depends. Right.
And you provide them with the hookups and the service. Are they driving RVs? Is that what they're driving or?
Yeah, so I'm not specifically looking for an RV park. I'm not against RV park because your cash flow drives off the lot.
Right.
But so I actually don't own any parks right now. I am a part of a couple of mastermind groups that we talk about and we analyze them together and we're looking.
So what's the difference between a mobile home mm-hmm. and an RV? The home's mobile, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what they call them, right?
Right.
But the mobile home is stuck on a cement pad. And they're on the hookup. So in order to move a mobile home,
you have to have a whole
it's a whole situation to move it. It's cost $3,000 to $5,000 to move.
They're not moving
home.
In the night. You get up in the morning they're and not drove moving. Away.
They're not moving. The RV obviously has wheels on it and you know, they go wherever they want. So that's a little difference of it.
But you still don't own the mobile home. They're bringing it in and you're giving them the land to set it up, right?
Exactly. So it all depends. It depends on your model, right? My specific strategy is to, they call them tenant owned homes. So I want to have all tenant owned homes. This is best case scenario, by the way.
Then you don't have to evict people, right?
Well, I guess
you could if they're not paying.
If they're not paying lot rent, then
what do you do?
Unfortunately, it's a situation.
You can lock them out, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is their home. So at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You put a lien on the home, I guess, right? And then they can't. I mean, if you own the home, right, and you rented mm-hmm. to them, then you could get them evicted, I guess. And
so that's a great question. I've never actually thought about that yet. But it's going to be.
That's how I think.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the talk about lawyers. It's going to be in the contract. So
right.
If they don't pay their lot rent, they can be evicted from their home where they have to move their own home, which. They probably can't move their own home. So eventually, a lot of times what happens is they move and basically foreclose. They have to move, you evict them. But they can take their home though. You're evicting them from the lot. You're not evicting them from their home.
Oh,
you're
evicting
them from the lot.
Okay.
So you can't stay here on this lot anymore, right?
Right.
Which the average lot rent in America right now is only $280. So majority of people can pay that.
$200 a month, that's it? Well, plus they pay for other services, right? Water, electricity.
Plus water, electricity, yes. But on average, it's about $280 a month. So if they own their own home. So that's a difference. So there are some parks that you have to buy the park, right? When you buy a park, an existing park, they have 100 lots.
Okay.
20 of them can be park-owned homes where the park owns the home.
Yeah.
Rentals, and then the other 80 can be tenant owned homes. And the strategy, my strategy is to sell these tenant park owned homes back to the tenants to make them tenant owned homes. So when the toilet breaks or the window breaks or anything happens, they're liable for their own home. Does that make sense?
What made you interested in mobile home parks?
Yeah, I love it. One of my favorite questions. So, going back to being a go-giver and Bob Berg, I'm really excited to go check out Bob Berg.
Yeah, definitely.
On the
he was on what's today? He was on last Friday, I think. Just like an episode. No, it was on Tuesday. Today's Friday,
okay,
right? Yeah, the new guy come out. He was on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. So I'm honored to be on the same show as Bob Berg. That's
huge. Bob's a great guy.
But going back to the go-giver mentality, right? On wanting to give back. So growing up, how I grew up. It really makes me where I'm at now. It makes me want to be able to give back and help those people in poverty. Right. So my focus on the people I would like to help are people in poverty with those broken or fixed mindsets that think they're just stuck and they're going to do this rest of their life and they're not striving towards anything else. So with that being said, the average apartment lot rent is about $1,250, $1,280 a month for an apartment versus right. the average lot rent is $280. So affordable we talk housing. About affordable housing. The affordable
housing. No, but they got to still buy the home, don't they?
Yeah, they can still buy the home. So once they buy the home, and sometimes you gift homes. If you're talking about 70, 80 homes, you'll give it to them and you pay lot rent, depending on the strategy. But even if they are renting, right, you're still only talking about $500 to $600 a month versus $1,200, $1,300 in apartment rent, right?
That's still cheap.
So with that being said, the supply for lower income housing is decreasing every year. They're right. knocking down a lot of these ugly old whatever and building right. these big luxury apartments
right.
and
because they want the
supply
money.
Is decreasing. Exactly. Yeah, it's sure. all about the money. Supply is decreasing every year while the demand for low income housing is also increasing every year. The unemployment is going up,
especially
obviously
now,
COVID.
Right?
Yeah. I would say COVID obviously inflated all that situation.
Yeah, right. They gotta settle out.
But so going back to being a go-giver, if I say, okay, you got to pay $1,200 a month. If you're a single mother, you can have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, have your home, front yard, backyard. You have your driveway for call it, even if they are still renting the home, they're buying the home, call it $500 a month versus $1,000 to $1,200. So that's that aspect of being able to, give a home in a good community to a mother or a family that actually has a good community to live in.
Right.
On top of that, we're also providing some type of education when it comes to the lower income, because if there a lot, in my opinion, a lot of lower income earners, it's not that they, you know, a lot of it, they just don't know, right? You don't know what you don't
right.
know, but we're bringing education to them, whether that's be how to increase credit, how to create a side hustle, how to do this, how to eliminate debt, whatever that may be for those that want it, not for everybody, but for
right.
those that want it, we're going to be offering those services as well to make, you know, the community a better place.
Okay. And then these homes, you said they're 2-3-bedroom homes. They're not like, you know, like a mobile home would have like a bedroom in the back and you'd fold out the couch. These are houses.
There's a bad stigma around mobile home parks. So my aha moment came when I moved to North Carolina.
Okay.
When I drove through a couple of mobile home parks and I'm like, this park and this community is nicer. This is way nicer than where I grew up at.
Now, why were you driving through a mobile home park? You're just looking for a place to live at the time?
No, well, this is when I'm already kind of wanting to go that route. But as I'm driving through them, right? They're much nicer than all my other houses I grew up in. I'm like, wow, like this stigma of meth addicts and trash and like, that's not a thing. Like there are also trashy apartments. There's also trashy
right,
single family
right.
homes. There's also
right.
trashy, every other asset in real estate, there's also some trash, but for whatever reason, mobile home parks just gets the stigma.
Yeah.
But I see that also as an opportunity, right? Because also there's not as many investors going that route.
Okay.
Right. It's actually one of the most lucrative asset classes in real estate.
Okay.
Because expenses are very low.
Right.
We already talked about
land
the supply
can't
and
be
demand.
That expensive, right?
Exactly. We already talked about the supply and demand aspect, right? So, and then overall, the aspect of being able to give back and help someone in that poverty level, someone that I grew up like, someone that a lot of my family is still very similar to, being able to help them and their family be able to start getting on the right path and start building wealth for their family is really what really drives me to it.
Wow, that's great. So it's not really just the money. It's probably the least of it, right? It's really helping mm-hmm. people that you're seeing in the situation that you kind of grew up in, right?
Exactly.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Exactly. And it is the most lucrative as well. So
no, I know. It all kind of fell together. You don't want to do it and get poor. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Be a slave to the park or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I maybe you told me this already. What brought you down to North Carolina?
So I currently work with Procter & Gamble, so I'm in corporate America. So kind of my path, went to school Western Kentucky, played football there, went out to New Jersey, did door-to-door sales, B2B sales. We lived in Bloomfield.
Oh,
so
okay.
My fiance went to
Montclair right now, and I live there with my fiance. She's my wife now. We live in Westfield now, but okay. I'm from that whole area. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. We went out there because my fiance went to Rutgers, so DPT school.
Sure.
So, yeah. So she got a doctor in in physical therapy. So, but all that transition, we're going through all that, end up landing the job with Procter & Gamble, moved out here 2 years ago now. So now I'm out here in the Southeast and loving it. So,
yeah, you wouldn't recognize Bloomfield. There's building going all over the place. I mean, I don't know what Corona's going to do, but it's really been booming. The whole area. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been back. I'm actually coming back next Friday, Wednesday.
You'll see the high rise apartments going up all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the city and everything. They don't need direct train anymore, but yeah, definitely boom. It's a hot area. Hot area.
Yeah. Had a good time out there. But while I was there, I was working a lot of B2B, working 6 days a week, 60, 70 hours. My fiance was in school. She was studying all day, every day. So I don't think we got to really venture out as much as we wanted to. But we definitely enjoyed our 2 years while we were there.
Yeah. Now, and your family's still in Indianapolis?
Yes, sir. All my family's in Indianapolis. Everybody's there. So we do have dreams and desires to eventually move my mother out of there, out of that neighborhood that I grew up in since second grade, that she's still there. She's still there. I mean, I grew up hearing gunshots, which isn't normal for a lot of people. Like hearing gunshots in Indianapolis, it's still a thing. Like, whoa, what was that? Like somebody shooting. Like, but it's more normalized. And it's really sad that it's normalized.
Yeah.
And that's going back into the youth mentorship, that's really why we want to hit on the youth, because in Indianapolis is a lot of 13, 14, 15 year olds that are uneducated that don't play sports. Right. And because in Indianapolis, that's really all you can do is play sports or you don't make it.
Right.
Basically. So if you're not making it, you're going to the streets. Now they're in the streets. Now it's just very childish, very young people, uneducated youth with weapons.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so
you know, that's what happens in poor neighborhoods and stuff. People don't see a way out. So what do you think? I mean, maybe it's your parents, but what was in you? Like, how'd you get out of it? You went to college, and you know, you said Western Kentucky. Yeah. Well, what do you think was in you? Like, how did you get at it? Because you could have ended up like some of these kids, right? I mean, you grew up in poor neighborhoods too. So,
yep. And I would definitely say. I mean, sometimes I say like I got lucky, but I believe you do create your own luck.
Yeah,
but I would say I created my own luck by sports. And it's the typical story, like sports kept me out. Like I had some of my best friends wanted to like jump me into gangs. And I'm like, I don't want to be in the gangs. Like all you have to do is hit a lick. I'm like, what's a lick? Like all you got to do is like rob somebody or jump somebody or like beat somebody up. I'm like, I don't want to, like, why would I just rob
somebody?
Is that
somebody? Like indoctrination or something?
That's how you get in gangs. It's called, you got to hit a lick. That's what they call it. But
And you play basketball, right? I see that behind you on the wall.
So that's actually my fiance. She was the baller.
And you played football.
Yeah.
There you football. Go. Very nice. Sports fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So she attracted to him.
Did you guys meet at Western Kentucky?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Very nice.
Yeah, we met out there, and she's way more athletic than me. I'm 6'4", 250. I just got the length, the height. But she's, like, got the quick twitch muscles. So I'm like, yeah, I need that. Yeah, nice. Thinking long term.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, I can see this woman in the picture. I couldn't see that well. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. Maybe it's, sports. I guess you were good at sports, so you probably had to find a way out. But you could have been like, okay, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I really want to say it's really my father, which he didn't grow up in my same household, but when I got around him, every single thing he said, I would listen to it. Right. I would listen as deep as possible. And it would be locked in my mind because I didn't get a lot of knowledge from him. I didn't get to talk to him all the time. So one of the things he told me that I still remember to this day, he said, Devin, there's right and there's wrong. Period. He said, there's right and there's wrong. Either way, either choice you make, which you have the choice, either choice that you make, there's going to be consequences. Now, if you make a bad choice, you're going to have a bad consequence.
Yes,
if you have a good choice, you're going to have a good consequence. Very simple stuff, right?
Right.
And from that, literally, my rest of my life, I still do it to this day. Hey, let's go to... I'm automatically, my mind just goes to, is this good or bad?
Right. It's a good choice or bad choice.
And if you don't know if it's good or bad, then it's bad. Don't do it.
Yeah, right. That's a good rule, right? If you're questioning whether this is good, it's probably not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because exactly. The good jumps out at you. That's obvious, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good lesson.
So that's really the little things that really taught that very simple lesson that he taught me at a very young age. And I understood it. And again, because he wasn't around all the time, during the time, it hurt that he wasn't around. Right. But now I'm more in a state of gratitude. I'm grateful that, obviously I'd rather him be at my games and stuff. Right. But I'm so grateful that happened because I learned from that. And when he did talk to me, I listened versus my other little brother that lives with him. Like everything my father says goes in one ear and out the other, and he just like whatever. So I'm grateful for that opportunity, and it just really gives me a whole view of being grateful and everything that I have now because I really came from a whole different lower type of lower poverty level.
Right, so. Right. All right. So my podcast really the audience is entrepreneurs, inventors, startups, business people that are looking to get into business or in business. So. What would you say if you were going to give somebody advice of what you've learned so far? You're a little bit younger than me, but you're probably a lot younger than me. But, in terms of the things you've learned so far and advice for people from a small business standpoint, do you have any thoughts or advice about that kind of stuff?
Yep. My first thought would be just do it. The Nike, just do it. Whatever you have, whatever is set on it, whatever your mindset on, just do it. And the whole reason we're talking about the Great Procrastinator Show with the podcast I was talking about is because I'm a pretty bad procrastinator. I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get to it when I get to it. It never seems a good time to start. It's never the right time. No. It's never going to be the perfect, oh my goodness, the sunlight is shining right on this.
All the lights are not green before you go to town. That's the way it works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's never going to be a perfect time. So my probably the best advice I think I could give would literally just start taking action. Write it down. Grab a pen. Write it down what you want. Reverse engineer it, beginning with the end in mind. So work backwards. In 1 year, I want this. Well, in 6 months, I need this. In 3 months, I need this. In 1 month, I need this. And all the way down to what do I need to do today?
Right.
Reverse engineer that down and then write those actions down that you're going to do daily and find someone that's going to hold you accountable on your actions.
That's a key part of it, right?
Yep. Yeah. If you find somebody to hold you accountable on your actions, you're going to get it done because you don't want to be that guy that, I'm saying I'm doing this and I don't get nothing done. Right. So another reason why we go live on Facebook.
Yeah, because make it accountable. It's out there now. And somebody goes, Devin, because I'm going to follow up with you. Make sure you started your podcast.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be like, Devin, what's going on? Where's the first episode? Uh-huh. You're like, I'm procrastinating. Well, but see, the problem with it being a procrastination's podcast is that just by procrastinating, you're kind of doing what you say.
I'm doing my job, right?
Should be the anti-procrastination podcast.
Yeah, you're right about that. So and it's kind of crazy because from the Freedom Finders, we're actually making it more of a podcast as well. So every Saturday, we bring in another guest on and we interview them, interview whatever that may be. Last Saturday, we had a CPA in Indianapolis that really dropped a lot of good nuggets and gems. So our Saturdays are like our Freedom Finders podcast. But yes, you can hold me to that. I will be dropping the Great Procrastinator.
Do you record all the episode all every time you're on Facebook? Yeah. Okay. So do you have it? So then you upload them to like YouTube?
So we have it uploaded to YouTube. So we're going to, once we start the podcast, the Freedom Finders podcast, which will be just the Saturdays.
Right. You'll upload those episodes.
Yeah, we're going to upload those episodes. We'll upload it to YouTube as well with the video. And yeah, from there. So we're just kind of compiling a database as of right now.
Are you the only podcaster in the group?
Yeah, I am the only podcaster.
They don't want to all start their own podcast on different topics.
No, I am the only podcaster in the group, which from me being a podcaster and listening to so many podcasts, they're getting more and more into it. But a lot of them, like the three other people, they weren't really, and myself included, I don't like going live on Facebook. And it was kind of like that situation of let's get uncomfortable in order to grow, right? You have to, and the only way to grow, and you probably know this saying, I'm sure you do, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
Yep.
So going live on Facebook is that uncomfortable feeling that we're really started having, which we're all loving as at this moment, and we're all growing. So it's really a great thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think they call that your first – well, there's this woman from Texas, Brene Brown. She calls it an FFT, your first effing time. And I think that, like you said, if you do it, if you're okay with being uncomfortable and you do it, you do it, it's not – uncomfortable anymore. You just got to get out there and you got to, you know, make it happen. I think that a lot of people don't, you know, they're like, oh, this is terrible. Well, it's only terrible the first time. You know, after that, you know, I'm sure your first game in college, right? You get out there, it was a whole nother level from high school, and you're out there and you got this enormous, everyone's big, and you know, I'm sure, you know, and it gets easier after that. You know, you get more comfortable with what you're doing. But I think, yeah, you definitely just got to put it out to the universe. You know, I mean, that's what I did with the podcast. As a matter of fact, when Corona started, I started doing a live stream. I still do it on Thursday mornings for like 15 minutes. Like, I don't know, the yesterday I talked about books that I like and podcasts I listen to because people ask me, and usually it's about law or it's about whatever. So my plan was, okay, well, I started in March. You figure this will be over by May. I mean, I'll just do it and then we'll go back to our real life. And here we are, right? So I was doing it Tuesday, Thursday, so it was too much. So I went down to Thursday. But, you know, I put things out there to make them happen. I did a business plan challenge, what's today, a week ago maybe? So back in July, I said, you know what, I'm going to do a five-day business plan challenge. Like, small business owners are going to write a business plan in 5 days. It's going to be intense. They'll get it done. We'll do a four-part, like, basic template. I had like 50 people in the group. And I just wasn't getting it done. So just one morning on the live stream, I put it out there. I had nothing prepared, and then I had to do it. So I recorded the videos and set up all the stuff. And, you know, it's funny because I got 50 people participating, two finished. Mm-hmm. Only about 15 really started submitting their parts. And then some people were like, oh, this was so hard. I mean, I have to do other things. I go, well, that's why they call it a challenge. It's not supposed to be easy, you know? So, yeah. And then, but it, you know, taught people about how to look at their business differently. Like you said, and do, it was like, for some of them, it was a little frightening to like look at their business that way, right? Really look at yourself and say, either you're not happy with what you're doing, you're not doing it right, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think that what you're doing is great. I actually have a YouTube kind of roundtable too. I have a friend of mine who's a, like a CFO type of, you know, operations guy, and another, his financial advisor. And then another guy who does works with mid-cap businesses, selling them, valuation stuff. So they said, well, we want to do this like round table where we can get together and just talk about issues. I said, well, why don't we record it, make a video podcast out of it, and we'll have guests and so forth. So it's called like Business Talk After Hours. And we just did an intro, but it's going to come out twice a month in September because it's content. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the same thing with your podcast. You want to get content out there, thought leadership, and it's all, you know, it's all good stuff. So I think Freedom Finders is an interesting, you basically created a round table of discussion, but you're not doing it. You're making more than just yourselves accountable. You're making the whole world hold you accountable. So it's a good lesson for people and a good concept for, I'm a big believer in coaches and advisory boards and having people to bounce ideas off of, you know, you can't do it yourself. You learn from other people, you know, that's kind of how that all comes together.
Yep. And some advice, getting back to the question you asked me earlier about, you know, what advice would I give to those people that are trying to be entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Just find somebody that's doing what you want to do and just copy them. Like, don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to reinvent everything, because as you're building your own, you're going to put your own, you know, your own swagger and your own situation onto it. But just find somebody that's doing what you want to do and go do it.
That's very good advice. Find somebody who's doing what you're doing. Why are they successful? Or maybe they're not successful. And, you know, do all that research and figure it out. And yeah, mimicking other people. I mean, look, 9 times out of 10, there's no new ideas. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of changes to an old idea. You didn't invent the idea of the mobile home park, right?
Right.
Somebody did. But, you know, now you're driving through, hey, you know, this is good. I can get my teeth into this. This would help me do this and make me money, and I can help people at the same time. And, you know, and now I'm sure you're looking at other parks and see what they're doing, right? You're not going to buy a park and then put a blindfold on and run the park. You're going to see what other people are doing, why they're successful, and, you know, what makes them attractive to people that want to come to the park. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like the movies make it look like mobile home parks or full misleading, I guess. Right. They don't have to be like that.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure you probably run into a lot of people that became accidental entrepreneurs based off of
those people. Did
they know someone that's doing something that they're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Right.
They just accidentally fell into it, and now they're doing it full time. So
the problem is they don't do what you do, and that's research and look and learn from other people. And, you know, they're like, they think it's an idea, and they're like, this is great. And they open a store and they haven't done any research. And then 2 days later, you walk into the store, you're like, hey, Mitch, this is really cool. You know, that other guy I know down there, he got the same thing. And you're like, he does? Like, you know, no clue. So that's the missing link, is what you're doing, which is the learning part of it, the growing part of it, the holding yourself accountable, you know, whatever. It's all part of the same package. You're making yourself. Some people are very self-obedient, right? I don't know if I'm so self-obedient. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but you're making yourself be self-obedient and follow through, because you're saying, I'm going to put myself in a position, right, where I have to follow it through. Maybe I won't end up where I'm going, right? Because life doesn't work in a straight line. You go and you hit things, and right? But you're kind of putting yourself out to the universe to make it happen, as opposed to just thinking about it with a bulletin board in your room and putting things and then just walking away from it.
Exactly. And now that you answer that same question, they're just flowing in my mind. But also write it down.
That's why I'm talking, so you can think of more ideas.
But also write it down, because I want to share a couple stories. I have a couple instances that are pretty amazing, a couple testimonials, really basic things. But my fiance and I, we wrote down our goals while we're in New Jersey in Bloomfield. We wrote them on a whiteboard.
Yep.
And we wrote down his, hers, and ours. We wrote our goals down. The problem with that is we didn't track it at all.
You didn't keep track of it?
We didn't keep track at all.
You didn't take a picture of it? Nothing?
Nothing. We just wrote it down. It was on there. Now, right. With that being said, though, the beautiful part about the story is once we moved to North Carolina, two years later, right, we're unpacking it. We find the whiteboard.
Was it still on the whiteboard? It was wiped off. Oh, okay.
On there. Now, everything that was on there, now it was dry erase, but it was like permanent marker on there by now, two years later. Now, what we came to find was every single thing that I wrote down as a goal was either already accomplished or was literally being worked on at that time.
Because you burned it in your mind by writing it down.
Man, you know? Everything.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Everything. It's so crazy. Even this year, 2020, and April 3rd, 2020, I have it up here on my bulletin. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but this is what I wrote down. It's what I read to myself every day. I said, I will become a motivational teacher and share what I have learned. I will focus on underprivileged people in poverty to change their broke mindset and encourage people to take daily actionable steps towards their own goals. At this point, I will be in my dream life, building passive income, and being that accountability partners or motivational teachers for others. And good. I wrote this down April.
Yeah. Right?
1 month ago, I was talking to my friend and we're just talking, we're having some kind of similar conversation. And I kind of share that. And then the light bulb just went off and I was like, whoa. Like I said, if I'm building passive income, and I said building.
Yeah.
And I'm being that accountability partner, motivational teacher, I'm in my dream life. I'm in my dream life right now. That's what I'm doing every single day. I'm building passive income and keep I'm a motivational teacher. Yeah. I'm like, wow, just because I wrote it down, that is what I'm doing on a daily consistent basis every single day. And this is mind blowing. So write it down.
Write it down. Well, look, that's why like people think of a business plan, like something they need for investors. It starts out as a dream book. Right? It starts out about this is my product. This is my service. This is what I want it to look like. These are the people I want to have running the business with me or for me or whatever. This is the market, the marketing, the thing, you know, and it starts there and then it grows into things. It's all about writing. So you write down an idea, maybe journal, maybe you write down a lot of ideas and then you run into something. What was that idea I thought of back then? Because we never remember anything, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then you go back to your journal and you're just like, oh yeah, wait, I wrote that down and you know, and you look it up again and then it all kind of, you know, comes together. So yeah, writing things down is just enormous. It's the one key in life. I think that we're like taught that in school and nobody follows it. It's like, ah, I don't want to write that down. Well, it's like you said, you don't hold yourself accountable. You don't remember things. You don't go back to it. You don't say, well, you can't reevaluate. Like you just said, right? You evaluated because you have it in front of you where you are. And you're like, wow, I'm doing this. But if you didn't write it down, you have no comparison. There's no way to compare anything, you know?
You can't track it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, all great advice. And it's what I live by. And it's what I try and tell people to do. That's why I had the business challenge, the plan challenge, to get people to write things down. They're like, I didn't know what to do. So I wrote this down. I said, well, you wrote something down. That's what you were supposed to do. You know, it's an exercise. Yeah. And I think that putting it up on the board and, you know, that's what people should do. They should have sticky notes and things all over their house, you know, all ideas. Mm-hmm. Now, some people don't live like that, but a lot of people that are entrepreneurial, you know, they look at things as, what can I do with this? You know, how can I help people? How can I make money and enjoy my and live the life that I want to live? And they're constantly generating ideas. And if they're not organized, it's overwhelming sometimes for people. So good advice, Devin. Very good advice. I appreciate you coming on here. It's very exciting that I'm your second podcast that you were on in your life. So someday when you're on your millionth, you'll be like number two, exactly. The Accidental Entrepreneur.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.